Father, we do bow down before you this morning and just acknowledge your holiness. Help us to quiet down and just honor you. And it just seems like we're always rushing and rushing and rushing and rushing to study and rushing to leave the study and rushing to the next thing and so forth, Lord, and give you a little time now and then. But we just want to start today just thinking of your holiness and just praising your name. And we have so much to be thankful for, Lord. Lord, help us to discern between the distractions and the noise and what's really important, and that is the eternal issues. And for those disappointments around us, for those we love, for example, may we take those to you and leave them at the foot of the cross. And knowing that we can't handle any of these things, we can pray, and we want to pray for those who are not totally committed to you yet. And we thank you for each one who is, Lord. What a blessing, what a blessing. Help us to glean from this one proverb today, which is so unusual because it's totally different from the rest of the proverbs, really. But you have things in the scripture for a reason, and help us to listen to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, as you know, we're in Proverbs 30, and this is, as already been mentioned, is not a proverb of Solomon. It's a problem of Al Gore, and we don't know anything about him. It tells us he's the son of Yaka. Nobody knows who that is. And it's declared to Ithiel and Ucal, and nobody knows who that is. So we have a proverb by someone who nobody knows to someone who nobody knows. But it's got one of the most profound verses in the Old Testament in it. I don't know if you're really familiar with this verse, but this is a great verse, particularly to use with the Jewish people. Verse 4, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? And then the clinching two questions. What is his name? And what is his son's name? If you know. Now, I can guarantee you, most of the time, if you would quote that verse to a Jew, they would say, well, that's from the New Testament. They don't even believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So this is a wonderful thing to think about. What is his name? And do you know his name? And do you know his son's name? Do you really know his son's name? Too many people in this world do not know either one of those, really. We have an interesting style in Agur. He's going to use this method of three times, there are four. He's going to use that four times. That's kind of his focus on different things of comparing and so forth. So verse 1 reads, as I already quoted, the words of Agur, the son of Ayaka, his utterance. I think this is really the utterance of the Holy Spirit, as all scripture is really. And we don't know anything about Agur, and we don't need to know anything about him, because he's just as the writer of the Bibles, the writers were of the Bible. It wasn't important who held the pen. It was the Spirit that was giving them the utterance. This man declared to Ithiel and Ucal. Verse 2, he starts out in a humble note, surely I am more stupid than any man. Now, there are those in today's society who say you shouldn't use the word stupid because it's a demeaning term and it should never be used. Well, unfortunately, I guess the Holy Spirit doesn't recognize that, because here it is, surely I'm more stupid than any man and do not have the understanding of a man. Can you put yourself in those shoes at all? I neither learned wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. And then he utters this great verse. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? who has established all the ends of the earth. Just think of that. All the ends of the earth established by him. What is his name? And what is the Son's name, if you know? Now, that puts it pretty much back to basics, doesn't it? Wonderful, wonderful. Verse 5, now we go to the Word of God. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to the words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. We know in Revelation 22:18, which you know well, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. So we have one verse written at the very end, and we have here one verse written in the Old Testament, don't we? Every word of God is pure. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. It's been said by some, just don't give me more than I need or less than I need. Because if you give me more than I need, I'll get bound to that and eyes off of you. If you give me less than I need, maybe I'll be tempted to go out and steal. Give me what I need, Lord. But that's not our prayer, usually, is it? Our prayer is what I want. But he will give you what you need. He is too loving to give you what you say you want, because usually you don't want the right thing or the right amount. Verse 9, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Wow. Who is the Lord? Boy, too many in the world are saying that. Who is the Lord, aren't they? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. 10, do not malign a servant to his master, lest he curse you and you be found guilty. So keep your nose out of other people's business. Verse 11, there is a generation that curses its father. And we say it's now, I guess, or one of them anyway, and does not bless its mother. There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes. Wow. Yet it is not washed from its filthiness. All these have individual applications, don't they, for sure? There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up, haughty. There is a generation whose teeth are like swords, and whose fangs are like knives. Wow. To devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Boy, this sounds just like it was written this week, doesn't it? The leech, bloodsuckers, has two daughters, give and give. That sounds like too many messages you hear from pastors and from politicians, right? Give and give. Now we start out with, there are three things. That's the first of four times he's going to use this little method, I guess. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. What he's saying is three times and then there are four. It doesn't say satisfied every time. But the first one here is, are never satisfied. Four never say enough. And then he lists four. There are more, but he lists four. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. Amazing, isn't it? The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. I was kind of amazed, not amazed, but some of the translation give that vultures and some eagles. We had a discussion on that this last week in Luke that people want to take umbrance with that one verse that because it uses eagles, it should be using vultures. Well, either one, they're both fowl, right? They're both birds. 18, there are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four, there it is again. Now here it's which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the air. Now, if you watch an eagle long enough, he'll soar out of sight. You can't see it. The way of a serpent on a rock, and you can actually see a serpent's path on sand, but when it gets on the rock, you can't see it, right? The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. Once you get a little bit away from that ship, you can't see where it's been or where it's going. The way of a man with a virgin. Verse 20, this is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wickedness. And I could put that instead of this is the way of an adulterous woman, it can say this is the way I am at times. I sin and I kind of wipe my mouth and say, well, I haven't really done anything that bad. Exactly. Yeah. It's just another thing she's done. She doesn't feel anything wrong about it. Mm-hmm. She just eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wickedness. Now here again, three things. For three things the earth is perturbed. Yes, for four it cannot bear up. For a servant who reigns. Remember Felix in the scriptures? He was a slave and he got appointed by a political appointee and he was a ruthless, mean man. It doesn't work well when you take a person who is not equipped or fit or called to that job and you put them in a position of authority. It just doesn't work. Perturbed for a fool who is filled with food. They even have more energy to be foolish, huh? A hateful woman when she is married. You think, oh, well, she'll mellow over time, she'll change. And not so. She just makes everybody miserable. A hateful woman when she or he is married. And a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. 24, there are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants. On the notes I have a whole bunch of things about ants. It is amazing. The ant is so small. And he is... We say here he is not strong, however, he can carry 2 to 3 times his body weight. Why don't you try carrying 2 or 3 times your body weight and see how you do? And then they have the ability to work together. They get something too big for themselves, they gather around it. If you've ever watched, we call them tumble bugs on the farm, they would roll waste from a cow or whatever, and they would be around it. Pushing a sphere, a stone or something or other. They work together. And man doesn't seem to be able to do that very well. Think particularly of the church, how the church is always fighting within itself and fighting others, not working together like an ant would. The ants work together. They also are very wise because they work during the summertime when there's food. They have to chew up everything and carry it, and then they deposit it, and then they live off of that. And one of the things that's interesting, there are nectar ants that go around collecting nectar, and then they deposit that nectar on the nectar ant, and it bloats up huge. And then at later times, others can come to that nectar ant, and it regurgitates enough to give them nectar. Now that's really self-sacrificing, isn't it? But you think, well, how can an ant do that? His brain can't be very big. The whole ant is very big, right? But the Lord puts that in there, doesn't it? But anyway, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. Now the conies, which you'll see in Israel frequently, the conies or the rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their home in the crags. They hide in the crevices of rocks, and the predators can't get to them. So they have no defense at all, but they hide themselves in the rock. Think how that describes you. You really don't have any defense yourself. Are you hiding in the rock? Are you really hiding in the rock of Christ? The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their home in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. Isn't that amazing? And we have kings, and we can't even keep in ranks with with soldiers and sergeants all around, right? Have a difficult time. But here, they keep in ranks. They don't even have a king. The spider, or that could also be translated lizard, the spider or the lizard, you know, the geckos, if you go to the, particularly to the Pacific region, wherever it's hot and humid, you'll find these geckos, Hawaii, Philippines. They're crawling all over the houses and all over the walls and all over. And they can crawl upside down on glass just as easy as not. And you think, how in the world can they do that?
Yes.
Well, they have literally thousands or hundreds of little suction cups on it. And they, some of them even exude a little glue, adhesive kind of stuff. And so they can, but how do they know when they're upside down walking when they need to get that stuff on their, because I mean, they're moving fast. They're not just, well, I'm going to sit here and wait till the glue comes out and then I'll take my next step. No, I mean, they're like that, right? But that's an example. The spider skillfully grasps, or the lizard skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces. I don't know how many houses you've had, but I bet you haven't gotten a house yet that didn't have spiders.
Everybody has spiders. And ants.
And ants. We got two of the three right here. Verse 29, there are three things, and here is another four. There are three things which are majestic in pace. How do they walk? Yes, four which are stately in their walks. A lion, a greyhound, a male goat, and a king. I like that. A lion, which is mighty among beasts, and does not turn away from any. A greyhound. Now, this also can be translated a strutting rooster. And I don't know how you get two translations out of that word meaning those two things, but they both kind of strut along, don't they? So from that standpoint, I think it's fine. A greyhound. I don't think of greyhounds really as strutting myself. I think of more of them as very sleek and fast. But at any rate, maybe he's talking about a bus here. No, greyhound bus, man. No. A greyhound. A male goat also. Yeah, I can see that. And a king whose troops are with him. Not so when his troops are away from him, but when he's with him, he can walk stately, right? Verse 32, if you have been foolish in exalting yourself. Got pride again today, don't we? We started out with a humble statement, and here we have at the end almost. For if you've been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you've devised evil, put a hand on your mouth. Better put your hand on your mouth more, I think, myself. Verse 33, here's an example. For as the churning of milk produces butter, the ringing or the striking of the nose produces blood. Well, that's graphic, isn't it? For as the churning of milk produces butter, a ringing of the nose produces blood, but the forcing of wrath produces strife. So we don't end too well on those three things, do they? But it's surely encouraging for us not to do those two things, wringing our nose or wringing somebody else's nose or striking him, or forcing of wrath, because that produces strife. So there we have those 33 verses. May they be helpful to us as the Lord would will by having them in His Word. Father, we thank You for every verse in Your Word and how we need them, how we can learn from them. Help us to learn from them. And Lord, help us to pray. You've given us that ability to pray to You, to communicate to You, and we get this opportunity every week. So lead us in this time of prayer as You will. In Jesus' name. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Fathers, we just focus on that one word, descended. That's everything, Lord. That's everything. You, Almighty God, coming to earth as a man to die in our stead, that we might have a relationship restored with You, that we might have eternal life. How we thank You, Lord. How we praise Your name. And may we be very aware of that question, what is Your name? And what is Your Son's name? If You know. If You know. Oh Lord, as we just want to close with a song here of Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore. Let's sing this song together, if we may.
We love You. We lift Your name in all the earth. May Your kingdom be established in our praises as Your people declare Your mighty words.
Blessed be the Lord.
Just wanted to remind us of the great things that are happening in this country. I don't know, we get so burdened down with all the negative, but just think what happened. What was the number one things emphasized for the first 100 days of President Trump's being in office?
Yes.
Freedom of religion. Would you have dreamed that when you voted for that? Just think what that means. First president to ever have a day of prayer in the Rose Garden. He's the most pro-life we've had. John mentioned it in passing, the life in the womb. We don't like wars, but the big killing grounds is in the mother's womb. Big killing grounds. We're aborting 8 million a year on this face of this earth. We haven't killed that many in 1 year in a war, probably. Well, maybe a few times, but very, very seldom. So the big thing is murder is in the womb. And now we've even moved so far upstream with the morning pill and all that stuff, we think that that doesn't matter. But any life that God gives the very beginning to is a whole life, right?
Yes.
But we need to be remembering he descended that we could ascend. He descended and we do have a way. Some people say, oh, it's too narrow, there's only one way. Thank God there is a way. And so every time you're praying for one of the people really suffering, pray five times for the healthy people that are unsaved. Because the saved person is already victorious. I don't care whether this body is crumbling all around them. They're saved.
That's true.
And the ones that are not saved are not saved. Well, Father, we thank you for meeting us here. We thank you for the prayers this morning. And we thank you that you are who you are and we can just praise you and help us to have that balance of really showing your victory to the world and that you have a victory for everyone. If we but turn to you. But you will not force us. You have given man free choice. And as much as you delight in the ones being saved, you're not forcing anyone and you never will. And so, Lord, it's free choice and everybody has that opportunity. Everyone. It's what the book of Romans says. None are without excuse. So, Lord, may there be many saved today as you will.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And help us to be peacemakers. Lord, we can't stop wars in other countries, but we can make peace with those around us. And that's what you want us to do.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.